You are now listening to NIIT Radio.
There's two more arguments I want to talk about. Actually, let me just call them smoke screens again about outsourcing. And I'll tell you why an interesting one that has dual smoke screens. So the next one is that I lose control. And I talked about this earlier, but let me just be a little more specific. The argument goes like this. If I outsource parts of training to an outsourcing provider, a third-party provider, I will lose control. And that's as stated by senior learning leaders or training leaders. And I take real exception with that. First off, in most training organizations, what we know is there's more training going on outside the training organization than inside the training organization. So that does not sound like control to me. The opportunity to get one's arms around the total spend, direct and indirect, manage the total spend, which we often find is not going on, that there's a hidden spend in training that's 2 to 4 times larger than the direct spend, and it's unmanaged, is an issue. I have said for many years that the training inside organizations is the largest unmanaged spend companies have, particularly big companies. If you think it's $1,000 per employee per year, it's actually $4,000 per employee per year. So that's the real spend. That's what you ought to be managing. That's what nobody's managing. So lack of control is an argument, when in fact what we know from outsourcing experience, and we can see this across multiple outsourcing providers and multiple outsourcing relationships, is that outsourcers bring formal processes for service level agreements, holding people accountable, monthly meetings and reports, rigorous process control, rigorous variance management, all the things that companies demand of a third-party provider that they really don't demand of themselves. So when you put all those things in place and you have a governance structure that oversees it all and is engaged with it, I would argue that it doesn't not only not allow you to lose control, but in fact improves the control you have. So that's an argument that I think, again, is a smokescreen. Let me move to the last one that I'll talk about, and this one's an interesting one because it comes from both the buyers or the internal training organization and the providers. And the argument goes something like this. A company should not outsource the strategic elements of training. So what do we mean by the strategic elements? We mean the business linkage process of understanding needs of the business, having dialogues with the business, determining if there's a learning solution that can make a difference for the business. In fact, designing that learning solution, all those sorts of things that are business connected, more strategic in orientation, and those sorts of things. And so the internal learning organizations argue that that's their role and you can't outsource it. The providers, interestingly, at least a bunch of providers, argue the same thing, that they don't believe those activities are outsourceable, nor should they be outsourced. And I think they do that for two reasons. One is because they don't have the capability to do those strategic things. They're more transaction-oriented in their approach to outsourcing, and or they don't know how to do those things. So, you know, in my past life, the outsourcing relationships that I've created included the strategic elements. We performed them really well. My provider performed them really well when I outsourced my training at DuPont years ago, and then subsequently when I led outsourcing processes with a number of other companies, we performed very well and delivered immense value. You know, and from the outsourcer's side, unless you're responsible for the processes for understanding needs and determining solutions, it's hard to be held accountable for the value. So the most, in the absence of those things, the most that you can hold an outsourcer accountable for is quality processes, cost reduction, consistency, responsiveness, cycle time, those sorts of things, all the transaction-related elements. and quality of content that you purchase if you're purchasing from a third-party content provider. So that's the five arguments, the last one being the one that crosses the barrier between internal and provider organizations. So as you think about outsourcing, when I look at outsourcing today, there's been a pretty significant change in how we do outsourcing today in the marketplace. The marketplace has evolved from comprehensive to outsourcing of specific elements or specific services. And the research says that the things that are being outsourced the most are custom content development, training administration in large companies, primarily not in small companies, some delivery, and of course, organizations are moving more toward a software as a service hosted learning technology model where they don't have to tie up their own resources to support systems and those sorts of things. And sometimes you'll see organizations outsourcing combinations of those things. So while those are good things to outsource, and in fact they do offer the opportunity to reduce costs, they really do limit the ability for the outsourcing provider to make a huge impact on the value side of the equation. So when organizations do this work and outsource these kinds of things, they must take the next step, which is to improve their internal processes for linking to the business, for understanding needs, for engaging with customers, for understanding customers' expectations, for ensuring that the work they do is relevant and linked to something important, and that they understand and can document the value being delivered for the work that they do. And I think that will take, that will eliminate a lot of the, if we do this well, that'll eliminate a lot of these objections that we hear from organizations as they think about or talk about outsourcing. And it will hopefully move them from the side of I'm not interested in this to the side of I actually should consider it, because there's sufficient experience in the marketplace to say that organizations that do outsourcing at some level do get some benefit. So why don't I stop there, and I welcome all your comments and inputs and critiques and support and all the things that go along with these blogs, and I look forward to hearing from you. And I have two more blogs to do to end this series on The View is Worth the Climb. This last one on outsourcing is one of those things that I say, along the road, this is one of the things that if you do well, makes the view worth the climb. Thank you. Today I want to talk about moving from the back room to the boardroom. So what I mean by that, I've had this strong drive to help training reposition itself from its functional orientation to a business orientation, which if it does will allow it to not only be in the same room with business people, but sit at the table as opposed to looking in through the door or sitting around the outside wall. So how do we do that? How do we get from the back room? How do we get from not being considered an integral part of the business to one where people look to us much like they do with sales or marketing or manufacturing or finance or IT, and get engaged in business discussions that allow us to bring forth the kinds of insights and capabilities that we know are possible to make a difference for the business. And I think that in effect is the essence of the challenge. You know, when we have conversations, do we have conversations with the people who are running the business? Do we ask them what their expectations are of us and how we should serve them? Do we understand the key capabilities they need in their organization to advance their objectives? Do we Do we know where we're coming up short in our performance? Do we know where the priority areas are for us to make a difference? Do we talk their language? Do we talk in terms of profitability and productivity and customer satisfaction and customer retention? Or do we talk about training programs and competencies and, you know, and e-learning and classroom training and how many training classes they've taken in their organization? Those are the things that I think make the difference between looking in through the window and sitting at the table. And the other thing is if we ever get invited to the table, much like the other people that are sitting around the table, we have to bring insight that goes beyond training. So we have to understand how business operates. We have to understand the various levers that organizations can pull and be broader than just training people. We need to be business people in training, which means that we have a specialty in our specialty area called training, but we're also broad business people who can look at you know, financial sheets and say, you know, there's an issue over here with fixed cost or variable cost or how we're doing SG&A, our level of SG&A, things like that. So I'd submit that we have to be, we have to think differently, we have to act differently, we have to talk differently, we have to walk the halls of business, we have to stop in and sit down with business people and say, what's on your mind today, what challenges do you have, what's keeping you up at night? All those things will eventually lead to us being invited inside the room and be given a seat at the table and moving, in fact, from the back room to the boardroom. I think it's critically important. I think we have enormous opportunity and potential. Those of us who have been in this space for a long time and have seen it work well know that when training is on an issue, when it is relevant, when it is tightly linked to something important to the business, and when it's done well, that in fact it can deliver exponential value for the investment being made. I've seen it hundreds of times. You've seen it hundreds of times. The question is, why aren't we doing it every day? Why aren't we doing it consistently? You know, in my book, Running Train Like a Business, what we said was is that one of the reasons why training leaders why business executives are sold on learning and not sold on training is that they get improved performance only sometime. It's inconsistent, and they don't know when to expect it. And they don't have confidence in us that when they invest in us, that they're going to get something for that investment that exceeds the investment. So I think it's imperative that we start to get a mindset that says we want to be an active player with the business, we want to be an active participant and contributor. We want to be viewed as business people. We want to have our organizations behave as if they are part of their own company and the decisions they make and the work they do are affecting their income and their livelihood, not some distant company that they work for that they never see. And I think if we can get aligned around that, then the path to getting there is pretty clear. And in fact, if you look back on the blogs that I've offered up, you will hear some of the ways in which you can advance your organization to where it moves, in fact, from the back room to the boardroom.
NIIT, Business Impact Accelerated.